thank Brother Jeff for his prayer and each of you who have prayed on our behalf this evening. Trust that you'll be encouraged, that the Lord will be uplifted. A little bit different style, I guess, for me tonight than what I do normally, maybe. But again, we trust that most of all, Christ is lifted up, God is honored, and that you would be encouraged, each of us. Title of the message is Confidence in Our Father. The winter day began like any normal one on the Beam, Pennsylvania farm. It was Thursday, January 10th, 2008, just a little over 3 years ago. Troy and Debbie Beam and their seven children would soon face a crisis that no family wants to experience. TJ, Trent, and Trevor, the oldest boys, had already begun unloading silage from the forage wagon. Troy, the boy's father, who also has a construction business, was in his office talking to a client when suddenly TJ burst into the room saying, "Dad, come quick. Trevor's stuck in the wagon." And immediately, Troy rushed out of the house, knowing his son was in serious trouble. And in his mind, Troy was screaming, "Father in heaven, help Trevor, he's only 8. And when getting close enough to see Trevor, Troy's fear and concern over his son's condition were justified. Trevor seemed to be lying motionless on top of the stilled beater bars. It was obvious that he had been pulled through the machinery once already, and would have gone through again had his brothers not intervened and turned off the tractor. Troy moved closer to Trevor and instantly realized the situation was far worse than he had first feared. His little boy was lying on top of the metal beater bars with his eyes closed, his head lying sideways in his mouth, hanging open. He saw no movement and apparent signs of life. It was clear from evidence at the scene that the mechanized beaters squeezed Trevor's abdomen with nearly deadly force. And then Troy saw Trevor's legs. "Oh Lord," he cried out in anguish, "please just save his life." The flesh on both of Trevor's lower legs had been ripped away. His muscles completely exposed. What little of the flesh that remained was dangling down around his ankle. Then as he carefully lifted Trevor off the beater bars and cradled him to his chest, Troy thought he heard a small sound come from his seemingly lifeless little boy. Fearing that Trevor had just taken his final breath, Troy drew his son even closer into his arms and cried out, "Please, save his life, Lord." And just when Troy was about to step out of the wagon, all the while crying out to God, he heard a wonderful sound. A weak voice said, "Daddy, am I going to be all right?" Trevor looked up at his father with a clear gaze, and a wave of relief washed over Troy's face. Trevor was alive. Trevor, he said, trying to keep his voice calm, "You're going to be fine. Daddy's going to take good care of you." Troy knew every second counted and rushed his son into the house, where the 911 operator was already taking information over the phone. Trevor was laid on the kitchen island by his father. Both of the boy's legs, from the bend of his knee down to his heels, had been stripped of skin. They looked like a picture from an anatomy chart. Bone, tendons, and raw muscle were clearly visible on both legs, but amazingly enough, there didn't seem to be any major blood loss. Lifeline soon arrived and flew Trevor to Hershey Medical Center. Troy and his wife and the two older boys made the one-hour trip to Hershey to be with Trevor and await the news of his condition. And after having endured the wait, finally a doctor arrived with some news. "Considering the nature and extent of his injuries, Trevor is doing remarkably well," the doctor replied. "We're still stabilizing him and making sure that all the life-threatening elements of his injuries are under control, but he is holding his own. It looks like we'll be able to save Trevor's left leg," the doctor hesitated briefly before continuing, "but probably not his right. The damage is too severe. And I'm sure you already know his right calf muscle was filleted from the bone just as you would fillet a fish. And part of it was hanging down at his ankle. In addition, two of the three main blood vessels to his foot have been ripped out and the third is damaged. He also has suffered nerve damage to his foot. There's another problem with the right foot that makes it virtually impossible to save it. Because of the damage to the blood vessel, Trevor has no blood going to his right foot. Without blood circulation, his foot will die. Even if Trevor keeps his leg without blood flow, he will never be able to use his foot again. The only thing Trevor has remaining on his right leg is a strip about an inch wide down the front. Everything else has been ripped off. What you need to understand, Mr. and Mrs. Beam, is that even if Trevor keeps his leg, he probably will never be able to walk on it again. The damage is simply too severe. The doctor went on to say the only possibility, and it is remote at best, would be to take some muscle tissue from Trevor's back and try to graft it onto his leg. It would be extremely painful for him. He would have to wear a brace and probably would have trouble with it for the rest of his life. Troy, the boy's father, needed to make a decision. He had been silently asking God for guidance, and Troy also knew from the look of his wife's face that she supported him no matter what he decided. Finally, sensing he had the answer for that moment, Troy looked directly into the doctor's eyes and said with a clear determination, "Taking off Trevor's leg is not an option. I have more faith in God than that. I know that God can heal his leg, and I at least want to give him the chance to do so." The doctor looked at them for several seconds while carefully pondering his response. "Well, I'm a Christian too," he said finally. "I too believe that God can heal, but I also know that God does not always answer our prayers the way we would like. However, if you want me to try to put Trevor's leg back together, then I would like to have prayer with you right here." Troy and his wife and the two boys. And the two doctors knelt in that small waiting room. And this was the doctor's prayer. "Lord, naturally speaking, this looks impossible. But if this father wants us to try to put this leg together, then we're going to need your wisdom, your guidance, and your help." These are the kind of doctors I want working on me if it's necessary. The required surgery to try and save Trevor's leg was completed. 2 days later, upon checking the condition of Trevor's leg, 2 days later, the doctor looked at Troy and shook his head in wonder. "I've never seen anything like it," he replied. "Trevor's whole leg muscle has knitted together. There was no dead muscle or other tissue that we had to cut away. It's absolutely remarkable." This was the muscle that had been filleted open to the bone. This was the part of the same leg muscle that had been hanging down around his ankle. The doctor was saying that same mutilated muscle had knit together and begun to heal in just 2 days. And from that time forward, the doctors never had to cut away any dead muscle tissue. Not only did Trevor have serious injuries to his legs, but the Beams were also told that when the hospital team conducted a complete examination of Trevor's injuries in the operating room, that they found a puncture wound in his chest. That alarmed them because it was positioned right over Trevor's heart, and evidently one of the thick pencil-sized prongs poked right through his chest wall. The doctor said when we shined a light through the hole, we actually could see his lungs moving at the other end of the opening. That prong missed Trevor's heart by less than an inch. If it had been any closer, he would have died instantly. You see, God had been looking out for Trevor, protecting his life even in the midst of a terrible accident. Not only did God heal Trevor's leg, but also his foot. I was supposed to not even have feeling in it. He now had feeling in the foot that the doctor said went because of the primary nerve being too severely damaged. This story is true and happened not that far away from here. And it's a story that is thrilling and encouraging to read and will probably brings some tears if you read it. But it has a happy ending. Some of those stories don't. But it's a story about our God. And I took the liberty to read, as you probably could tell, a lot right from the book. But the Father makes it clear in writing the book, he says, it's not about Trevor. It's not about us. It's about God. What he did and is capable of doing. About 1 month after the accident, Trevor was going to be released from Hershey to recuperate at home. And of course, Trevor looked forward to that day with excitement and expectation. However, a winter storm hit on the morning of the day that Trevor was to go home. One of the nurses that was tending Trevor told him, I'm afraid you probably won't get to go home today. The roads are bad. There's a lot of ice out there. Your daddy probably won't be able to make it. For a split second, Trevor's eyes looked sober, but only for a second. Then shaking his head, Trevor gave her a big smile, and then confidently he said, you don't know my daddy. Trevor's father, Troy, was told what Trevor had said, and that statement, you don't know my daddy, stuck with Troy. He thought about it in terms of his heavenly father. And just as Trevor depended on his earthly father, Troy was learning on a whole new level what it meant to depend on his heavenly father. His word and his living word is revealed in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to consider for just a brief time this evening. Can we say with the same confidence to someone who questions the ability or the faithfulness of our God, you don't know my father or my daddy, as Scripture even refers to. Do we have the same confidence in our heavenly Father that Trevor had in his earthly father? And if not, then I believe we should ask ourselves, why? Well, maybe we don't know him well enough. Believers in Christ already know the Father, don't they? Jesus made that clear in his response to the Pharisees in John 8, verse 19, when they asked him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. However, as believers, we may not be, even though as, and I am assuming that most of us here are professing believers. If you're not, you don't know the Father. But even as professing believers, in our relationship with Christ and knowing the Father, we may not be growing in knowing our Father better, or something may be hindering us from knowing him better. So that may be one reason why we can't confidently say, you don't know my Father. Or maybe we lack that confidence at times and can say that about our God. Secondly, if we lack confidence in our Heavenly Father, maybe we just need to take him at his word. One night after Trevor's parents had gone home, and this was after the surgery and the leg was healed and the foot was healed even. One night after his parents had gone home, he was beside himself, Trevor, and the nurse couldn't get him calmed down. Tried pain medication and so on, and just could not get him to lay down and be still. Trevor wanted his daddy. So the nurse called to the Beam home, and it was late. I believe it might have been midnight, 2 in the morning, I'm not sure, but late at night. and told him the situation, and Troy told the nurse to tell Trevor that his daddy was coming. And as soon as the nurse told Trevor that his daddy was coming, he lay down as though nothing was ever wrong with him. And the nurse reported that to Troy and said it seemed that all he needed to hear was that you were on your way. And when Troy arrived and went into his son Trevor, and he was awake, and Trevor told him, he said, I feel so much better when you're here with me. And as they talked together, and they took each other's hands, and Troy sat there and took his son's hand and held his hand for hours that morning. Because Trevor wanted to experience the presence of his father. In Exodus 33, Moses is told by God to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But God said, look, you can still go, but my presence isn't going to go with you because of the sin of the people. But Moses didn't want to lead the people without the confidence of having his father's presence with him. If we were to reread a few of those verses there in chapter 33, it's at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know. Seems to me I might have skipped some. Let me start it again. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. And that means the meaning of way there is a road, or it implies a course of life or a mode of action. Moses said, show me the way, or show me the course of action. Show me the road that I may know thee. He wanted to know God and be confident of the presence of God with him. He basically was saying, look, God, if your presence don't go with us, I don't want to go. He said, show me the way. Show me your way that I may know you. And so I ask us, has God shown us his way that we may know him and have confidence in our Heavenly Father being with us? Has it? What is it? Isn't this his way? Isn't this his road? His course of action or course of life for us? Maybe we just need to believe it more and apply it more and obey it more to have the same confidence in our Heavenly Father that Trevor had in his earthly. Just as Trevor took his dad at his word, confident that he would experience his dad's presence, can't we take God at his word, confident that we'll experience his presence as well? Shouldn't we have the same confidence that God will honor his word, hold our hand, and stay with us? If you think about it, regardless of where you're at in life, whether it's good times, bad times, whatever it is there anything you really need more than just God holding my hand and being with me? Is there anything more than that? Experiencing his presence. Briefly, I just want to consider three no's. K-N-O-W-S, from Scripture. Because I tried to key in on that a little bit. There's a lot of different things you could have went for directions maybe, but the fact that you don't know my daddy, I tried to key in on that word no. And Moses said, show me your way, Lord, that I may know you. Three no's from Scripture, from the Psalms, that in themselves, if we just take them by themselves, they are a basis for confidence in our Heavenly Father. The first one is Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The psalmist said, I know it. Our lives, what does that tell us? It tells us, yes, that God has made us in a wonderful, marvelous way. Unexplainable, at least it is for me, how everything works. But it also tells us that our lives were not an accident. That God created us with purpose, therefore He'll be involved with our lives to fulfill a purpose. God's hand was in my creation and in your creation, and His hand, therefore, will be in my life and in your life. Well, I think that gives us some room for confidence, don't you? The second reference in Psalms is Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. The psalmist says, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. That applies to us too. We know the same thing that the psalmist did. And it means this, that our God, our Father, cannot be equaled. There is no one, nothing that can equal Him. He is not handicapped by limited abilities like we are. Some of you are extra good at using your hands and working with your hands. Some are extra good with their minds and so on. God is not handicapped by any limited abilities. That ought to help our confidence in Him, shouldn't it? And the third reference, I might like this one the best. It's Psalm 56:9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. Listen to what he says. He says, this I know, for God is for me. Isn't that great? God is on our side as believers. He is for us. He is not insensitive to our hurts, our concerns, and our needs. This I know. God is for me. You know, we ask sometimes, well, who are you for in the game? What team are you for? You know, in the end, it doesn't really matter a whole lot, does it? But I'll tell you what, it matters that God is for me. You. Those three references in himself ought to lift up our confidence in our Father. If I could read one more page. After Trevor was restored to normal health, and that young boy walks and runs as good as today. There's no way to explain that And the doctors admit it. But we know how it is and how to explain it, only because of the miracle that God did. But after he was restored to normal health, Troy, his father, leaned against a fence post, pulled off his leather work gloves, and wiped the perspiration from his eyes as he grinned at his son. Trevor, for his part, brushed the grass off his knees and poked a finger in a new hole that had mysteriously appeared in his jeans. The two were working together. "I'll vouch for you with Mommy, Trevor. You earned that hole in your jeans the honest way by helping Daddy all day long with this fence line. Thanks for being there for me, son." Trevor grinned and said, "You were there for me when I really needed you the most, Dad." That was all it took to melt Troy's heart. He instinctively drew Trevor close in a warm hug as memories of his son's brush with death and of God's faithfulness over the previous year flooded his mind. "You know, we have a lot to be thankful for, son. God was with us. No matter how dark things looked at the time, it was our Daddy in heaven who surrounded us with his grace and mercy, and it was our Daddy in heaven who healed you. When we called, he was always there for us." Trevor tightened his grip and looked into his daddy's face. "You know what, Dad? I think he is a lot like you," he said shyly as he glanced at the sun's rays piercing the thick clouds overhead. Trevor's mind went back to the day he came home and said, "That's why I told that nurse who thought you wouldn't make it because of the storm, you don't know my dad. I knew you would come for me." I ask us this evening, can we have the same confidence in knowing our Heavenly Father? Say yes, absolutely, and more. And more. Or so.